We're going to talk about this stat a little bit later here on the Burns and Gambo show. Luke Lipinski of The Rundown is filling in for Gambo today. The Diamondbacks are the second team in history to win at least 18 games in April and then lose at least 18 games in May. The only other team to do that was the 1987 Brewers, and if you're looking for a silver lining in this dark cloud, the 87 Brewers won 91 games.
I'll take that. Tell you what else I'll take.
I'll take our favorite baseball insider, Tim Kirchen, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, as he does right now here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Timmy, got Luke Lipinski filling in for Gambo. How you doing today, my friend?
Good, Burnsy. Good, Luke. Everything okay?
Well, I don't know. We got a team that hit .193 in May and lost 18 games. I don't know if I classify everything as okay right now. We're a little nervous.
Well, you should be, but two things to keep you going here. No one else can hit the big leagues either. Not as bad as the Diamondbacks are going, but pitching is a dominant thing these days. Batting averages are falling, and teams are having trouble scoring runs. And the second thing, even more important than that, just not sure there's a team in the West that's good enough to just leave the Diamondbacks behind. So long way to go, but a lot of work needs to be done in Arizona to get that team back to the playoffs. I sure didn't see that April coming, and I sure didn't see that May coming either.
You know, my next question was going to be about the West. If there is a team, the Dodgers were going on a roll there for a little bit. Maybe they've leveled off the last couple games. But if there is one specific team you think Arizona needs to be worried about or keeping their eye on, is it still L.A.?
I think it's Colorado now. And that's, you never count out the Dodgers, given how much money and resources they have to go get what they need. But that injury to Kershaw yesterday could be a significant one. This is, hey, I feel great, now I don't feel so good. And at the back for the fourth time in 5 years, and it's a critical guy who was throwing 88 miles an hour last night. That's just not going to get it done, especially without Corey Seager there. So I would think that the Diamondbacks' biggest challenge would probably come from the Rockies without counting the Giants out. I mean, the Dodgers out, but that division is way up in the air, which, again, is good news for the Diamondback fans.
I want to circle back to the Diamondbacks in a second, but since you brought up the Dodgers, I want to focus on them for a second. How convinced are you, despite their endless amount of resources, seemingly endless amount of resources, that when it comes to adding during this season before the trade deadline, how convinced are you that they're going to sit this one out in the name of staying under that luxury tax threshold?
Yeah, I'm not convinced of anything with the Dodgers. They have surprised me a bunch of times where I thought, oh, they're going to go get David Price. Oh, they're going to go get Cole Hamels, and then they didn't. But they did go get Yu Darvish last year and lost him after a couple-month rental. So there's still a great deal of player development going on with Andrew Friedman and that team, and I still don't think they fit the model of whatever it takes to get us back to the World Series. That's what we're going to spend. Not with Corey Seager hurt, not with Kershaw up and down. And let's face it, guys, if the goal is to win the World Series, which obviously it is, and you look at Houston, the Yankees, and the Red Sox in the American League right now, man, that's a formidable group over there. So maybe this is the year, again, that the Dodgers say, well, we're going to wait till next year, go get a huge free agent, and start over.
Yeah. Tim Kirchen, baseball insider from ESPN, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back to the Diamondbacks, and in particular, the guy who has been the center of almost daily conversations, at least on this radio station, in regards to their struggles and his struggles, Paul Goldschmidt. In your talks for people around the league, in watching the Diamondbacks and doing what you do, what have you been able to assess about what's wrong with the Diamondbacks all-everything first baseman?
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. And the people that I've talked to, at least a few of them have said he can't get to a good fastball anymore. And I refuse to believe that something has happened to him. He's gotten too old. His hands aren't quick enough. His bat isn't quick enough. I refuse to believe that. I think he's just in the throes of a terrible slump that happens to great players, good players, all the time. But this one, he had 70 strikeouts as of the other day. I know he strikes out a lot, but 70 after just over 50 games is too many. And until he catches up with the fastball, he's going to keep having trouble. But given his work ethic, given who he is, I'm certain he's going to pull out of this, but man, has it taken a whole lot longer than I thought.
You mentioned that the hitting is kind of down across the league, but it's been extreme with the Diamondbacks, and there's all these, you know, theories if it's the humidor or whatever it is. I think everybody here is sort of banking on A.J. Pollock coming back and resurrecting things, but that's just one guy. I mean, is that a situation where just him getting back in the lineup or just Goldschmidt starting to hit, is that even enough for this team right now?
Well, both of those things have to happen in a very big way. Pollock comes back, and he's great when he comes back. Goldschmidt finds it, and he's great for the rest of the year. And then they got to get some pitching healthy, and then they got to play better in every way. So this is, you know, you lose 18 games in a month, there's a lot wrong. But there's still time to fix it. And I would be thrilled if I were a Diamondback fan that with all that's gone wrong, especially in the last month, to look up this morning and see only a game and a half out of first place, that's a good sign. But like I said, a lot of work has to be done if they're going to make the playoffs again.
There was a real good story on ESPN.com from your colleague Buster Olney about baseball evolving towards walks, strikeouts, or homers. The hit and run is dying. The sacrifice bunt is dying. The stolen base, nobody does it anymore. Do you like this version of baseball that we seem to be evolving towards, at least for now in the sport?
Look, Bernsey, I got to be careful here. I love baseball. I'm going to love it in any form or fashion, but this is not a good brand of baseball right now. The players are great, but there are too many walks, too many strikeouts, and too many home runs. There is nothing or very little in between. An American League manager told me the other day that he and another AL manager had a discussion recently on the field before a game, and each agreed they haven't put the hit and run on for 3 weeks, either one of them, because they don't even think their players know or can execute a proper hit and run. That is so sad to me. And the Blue Jays, again, not an isolated case, kind of though, they just had their first sacrifice bunt of the season the other day. It came in the 47th game of the year. No sacrifice bunts before then. This is where we are, fellas, and it's just a lack of fundamentals from our players who are so unbelievably big and strong and talented. They just think that their talent overwhelms everything else, and they don't need to understand the subtleties and the nuances of the game. And we're missing out on a really big and really important part of the game. And I don't see it coming back until the hitters say, I'm going to make an adjustment and I'm going to put the ball in play more often. And the pitchers make the adjustment that I don't have to strike this guy out on three pitches. I don't have to embarrass him. I'm going to pitch to contact and get some guys out earlier in the count.
Your best June 1st guess on where Manny Machado is going to end up before the trade deadline.
Well, he's going to end up somewhere other than Baltimore. I think that's obvious. I really don't know, so I'll guess the Cubs, because the Cubs still might have a need, and the Brewers are good in that division, and the Cubs can't afford to not make the playoffs. They could move, I'm guessing along with everyone, they can move Addison Russell in that deal and let Machado play shortstop. He might be exactly what they're looking for, and yet the Cubs have accurately said, this is fantasy. We're not going there. Well, we haven't gone there yet. So I don't know where he's going. But whoever goes and gets him had better have in mind, can we re-sign him after the season? Because it's going to take a fortune to get him, and that's going to be a hefty price for a two-month rental.
Tim, as always, a real pleasure talking baseball with you. Stop on by anytime, all right?
Okay, guys. See you.
You got it.